The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Waterski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Yes, indeed. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is the TWBC podcast. And another one of the episodes are recorded over at the Isles of Lake Hancock prior to the nighttime action concerned with the King of Darkness. And have a real special guest with us this morning. It is none other than Neely Ross, superstar, a women's tricker, and a member of a Team Canada. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Tony.
Excellent stuff. So, Worlds coming up in a few weeks, few months now. I mean, you're probably counting down the days a little bit to that event. How's your training? How's your skiing been going up to this point?
You know, it's been awesome. It was a little bit of a weird year for everyone. Definitely Masters put me back into the mindset of competing. So that was awesome. I'm really, really excited to get back into some international competitions, though.
Excellent. So, I mean, you are a dual threat skier. I mean, not only do you trick, but do you slalom. So how do you kind of divide the time a little bit between what you do in tricks, which is exceptional, to what you do in slalom, which is just as exceptional?
So for the past few years, tricks has been my main priority. But I've always been in love with slalom, and I've always loved slaloming, especially because it's a good stress reliever for tricks, I think.
So you find slalom more therapeutic than tricks, you would say?
Definitely. Tricks has always been my main priority and where I put the majority of my time and energy. But I think it's always good to have something else to also focus on. And I guess slalom is a little bit of a different outlet for me because, no, it's not my main priority, but I still want to perform and excel in it as well as I can. And I think it is a good stress reliever. It's something else for me to put my energy into in a little bit of a different way than tricks.
All right, then. So as of the time of this recording, we were just a few minutes just previous from watching your brother perform 4.5 at 39.5 off, and certainly one of the best land skiers. And for those of you that haven't listened to his podcast yet, you can tune in to that. But what's that kind of dynamic like? I mean, you're primarily a trick skier, you're an above average slalom skier, and you've got two other members in your family who are one's an absolute legend in Canadian slalom skiing, and the other one rising his stock little by little.
Yeah, so my dad, I grew up going to big tournaments and watching my dad, and my dad has always been a great slalom skier, and then he started me slaloming at a very young age, and, you know, when I decided to put that trick ski on, he was definitely always very supportive of me. And, you know, in the past couple of years, we haven't expected to see this out of Charlie, and lately he's just been absolutely killing it. He's turned into a different like little ripper out there. So we were very surprised but also very excited. He loves it, and yeah, he's absolutely killing it.
Must have been quite an occasion when I'm sure you probably watched the webcast at the end of Swiss Pro, you know, the smile beaming from cheek to cheek. That must be a moment to behold.
Oh, it was probably one of the top five moments of my life. I was at the middle of the lake. I was trying to video him. I put the phone down like halfway through the pass. I was screaming my head off. It was amazing. But, you know, the kid works really hard. He works really hard. He slaloms a lot. He really puts the time and energy into it. And it was great to see it pay off.
Okay, speaking of preparation, I mean, what typically goes on in the day of the life of Neely Ross? You know, I mean, you put a lot of hours into training, you know, but obviously there has to be an off-water element to it, surely.
Yeah, I guess a day in the life for me, it involves a lot of skiing.
Of course.
Yeah, I love slaloming in the mornings, tricking in the afternoons. I love going to the gym, and then honestly, most of the time we're wake surfing, we go out on the boat, just anything out on the water.
Just anything that keeps you occupied.
Yeah.
What about other stuff, educationally wise? You attending college at this time?
Yep, Rollins College. It's close to home. It's great for skiing. I love skiing over there with Coach Mark, Mark Bedsel. It's awesome. It's close to home. It's definitely the best situation for skiing for me.
Okay, and it's not exactly an easy school either, you know. I mean, your grades and your studying have to be on point to really excel there, huh?
Yeah, but it works out with skiing. Skiing's my main priority, for sure. But yeah, it's a good situation. I love it over there.
All right, so I'm sure you've got plenty of goals ahead of you, aside from academics and all that kind of stuff. Between now and the end of the season, you're a member of Team Canada. You're probably going to ski the two events that you excel in in that particular event. So, so far as you've been a member of Team Canada, you receive coaching and assistance. To what extent does that kind of resolve itself?
Yeah, so I train and ski the majority of the time with my dad, Drew Ross, also with Andrew Bergman, who's Canadian as well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, tomorrow morning we're driving up to Canada for the rest of the summer, so I'm very, very excited to get back up there. But yeah, I'm very excited to ski for Team Canada again and get back to some major competitions. You know, after Malaysia, after falling in the finals and not skiing as well as I wanted to, my eyes have been set for the past 2 years on world championships again, so I'm very excited.
So you're definitely coming into that event with a hunger in your belly, huh?
For sure. I'm very, very excited. Yes.
All right, then. So, and you mentioned that you're going to be going up to Canada. I think I saw pictures of your log home over, mm-hmm. over in Ontario, and I asked this question of your brother in the previous webcast. How important is it for you to kind of vary things up in that regard rather than staying in one place?
I think it's great that we go up there. We try to go up there 2 months every summer. This summer's cut a little bit short. But I think it's super important. You know, training here in Florida is incredible, but in the summer, it's hot. And just for keeping your hands... your hands don't hurt up there. The water's cool. The temperature's perfect. It's the best place to get as much training in as possible. And I noticed that it helped me so much right before Worlds in Paris in 2017. It helped me before Junior Worlds in 2018. I think I really got the best training possible for those competitions.
Yeah, because I definitely see that the water warmth down here starting to shred mm-hmm. your hands a little bit there. So you need those things to work to be able to ski. So now let's talk about women's trick in general, because
okay.
you've been part of this whole renaissance of high echelon women's trick competition between yourself, between Anna Gay, between Janina Bonham, and between Erica Lang, and I'm sure that there are a couple of others that I've missed out, and my apologies goes out to those individuals concerned. But how do you feel about being part of that renaissance? Because, I mean, that must put a heavy weight of responsibility on your shoulders, huh?
For sure. I grew up watching and looking up to Clem Lucene, and she was the first woman to ever trick 10,000 points, and I feel like as soon as she did that, she really set the bar for women to really, that women can trick a lot of points. And since then, it's been Erica that has been really excelling, it's been myself, Anna, Natalia Bernikova is always up there. So I think it's been really cool to watch this happen, because I feel like it's been a long time coming.
All right, then. So let's go down, dial down into the specifics of your runs. I mean, obviously, you have strengths, you have weaknesses. I mean, for, as far as I can see, I mean, you're pretty even with both passes. I mean, you trick a lot quicker with toe tricks than most other skiers. I mean, how much time and effort do you put into actually mastering toe tricks at that kind of high echelon level compared to maybe hand tricks? I would say, what kind of practicing and training balance are you trying to achieve between both elements?
So I've been doing the same toe pass for probably 6 or 7 years, for a really long time.
No wonder it's quick.
Yeah. So my main focus, and I think why specifically Anna and I have been able to get so many points in that toe pass, is because we've been doing it for so long. We know that pass inside and outside, and we really have just been trying to get it as fast as possible, fit as many tricks in as possible. So now we're kind of at the point where I'm ready to start doing a new toe pass and get some bigger tricks in there and hopefully some more points.
What kind of tricks are we talking about? Like toe egg line five back and those tricks?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So, and I mean, what does your handle pass look like? I mean, it's got plenty of flips, but I'm sure that you want to replace the lower scoring ones in favor of a slightly higher flips to bump up your points. You know, towards 11,000, I would say.
Yeah, so I'm kind of at the point where I've always done some hand tricks first and then gotten into my flips, and so now I'm kind of trying to change up all my runs. And so now I'm starting with flips, ending with handle passes and ski lines and things like that. So I'm trying to do this, get used to these runs over the summer, and then hopefully be able to trick 11,000 this year.
Excellent. So I'm sure that you watch YouTube videos, Instagram, and all that kind of stuff. Your device isn't too far away from you, but I'm sure that you've seen some of the videos that the likes of Joel Poland has thrown out with some of the new flips that he's put in.
For sure.
You feel feisty enough to try one or two of those and throwing them into the pass?
Oh my gosh! Well, Joel is absolutely just lighting it up. He's coming up with crazy new flips. It's pretty incredible what he does. It's incredible. I've been trying some new flips, but definitely, I think he's got the fear factor out of it. I don't know how he does it. It's pretty incredible what he does.
All right. So before we round off this podcast, kind of give us a little bit of a perspective of what the dream season is for you as we progress along all the way through up to the Worlds and maybe one or two tournaments beyond.
Well, the next couple months, I think, are looking pretty good for me. I'm very excited to get into it. I'm excited to be training as much as I can in Canada. And then as soon as we come home from Canada, we'll go up to Corey Picos' place and watch my brother ski in the U17 Worlds. And then him and I will also compete in the Under-21 Worlds up there. And then after that, get into school a tiny bit. But definitely my eyes are set for the Open World Championships in October, and then finishing off the season at Pan Am's in Mexico.
All right, then. We're at that point. We're about to end the podcast. Any shout-outs, any thanks to people or entities out there you'd like to give?
I guess a big thanks to my family. Yeah, they've always supported me as much as possible. So big thanks to them.
All right, then, and you've just heard Neely Ross here on the TWBC podcast. Thank you very much indeed for participating, and thank you once again for listening in, and hopefully you'll be able to tune into the next podcast, but for now, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC Podcasts.